I'm really excited about this message. I was listening to a message Bill Johnson was giving, and something inside of me went click, and I went, oh, I've got to share some of this with my church. And so I'm going to just share some thoughts. And what he started out the message was with the question, where do the believer go? Where do the believers go when they die? And it's not a trick question. Where do Christians go when they die? Two? Thank you. Okay. Well, you got that. All right. So, turn with me to Romans chapter 6, verse 4. And we'll look at our amazing wall. Therefore, this is Paul speaking, we are buried with him, who is him, Jesus, by baptism into what? Death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Next. For if we have been planted together, I love that, in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, here we go. This is it. Hold on to your seats. Get ready. That our old man is crucified with him. Let's say that again. Let's say that together. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Faith in your having an old man will keep you from encountering God in the heavenly realm, because only those who die go to heaven. If you believe you still have an old man, that faith in that lie will be like a ball and chain preventing you from experiencing heavenly realities, because you can't get to heaven until you die. And when did you die? When were you crucified? With him, your old man, your sin nature. You do not have an old man anymore. Unless you take your authority as a Christian and raise him from the dead. That's a resurrection I don't think you should be very proud about. This is powerful. Basic doctrine can change your life when you grab hold of this truth. Years ago, when I discovered that Jesus took all my sickness upon himself, the revelation hit me with the force of healing power, and I went into a healing meeting. I went into a meeting sick, and I came out instantly healed. And since that day, I no longer own arthritis. I no longer own pain. I no longer own sickness, because he took it from me. This is just as powerful. You do not have an old man. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. Everything is new. You go to heaven when you die. I have have a scripture for you. This is going to be our text. Everything's going to revolve around this. Colossians 3:3. This is what God says about you when you were born again. You are dead. And the life of the supernatural reality of living by faith in a realm that can transform you on a daily basis from glory to glory and faith to faith is available because it's hidden in God. And the truth that will release you is understanding is that your old nature that fights against God, that fights against making time for God, that fights against reading the Bible, that fights against praying, that fights against going to church, staying late, is dead. How many of you realize that when you're in heaven, time ceases to exist? I just stepped into that today. I apologize not for going late today, because we're in heaven's time. We get into his presence and anything can happen because we're touching heaven. And especially young people, to grab hold of this, because God is looking for anyone who will take this truth and advance it deeper into the presence of God than they've ever thought they could go before, beyond what they could ask or think. And maybe you might become another Heidi and Roland Baker. For 14 years, they struggled in the mission field to squeak out 4 very weak churches full of strife and a lot of contention, such that when they came back to the States, they were burnt out. And they went to a Holy Ghost meeting up at this Toronto airport, where Heidi went into the glory for over a week and never came back. They had to bring her in to the meetings in a wheelbarrow, take her out, same way. And she was in the glory for a week. And when they went back to the mission field, they established 10,000 churches in less than 10 years. God is looking for anyone who will take the truth that is in the scripture and advance it into the presence of God until they get a breakthrough for themselves. The realm of the supernatural is at hand because, you see, our citizenship is in heaven. In fact, the Bible says we are seated, present tense, in heavenly places. And the Holy Spirit is like the dove that Noah released, and it's seeking to find rest on whomever is there. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout all the world, seeking to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is inclined towards him. He's seeking worshipers. Why? Because that's where destiny is established. Now, the church has a tendency. Well, are you convinced that our old man really is dead? I mean, that you don't have an old man, and that, I mean, I just touched upon this. Let's just go back to this for a minute, because some of you might say, well, wait a moment. And I've heard messages on Romans chapter 7 preached with great anointing on how Paul dealt with the old man and suffered from it. In fact, in one verse he says, "O wretched man that I am, who will save me from the body of this death?" He says, the things I want to do, I can't do, and the things that I should do, I don't do. And, you know, he's going on. But if you carefully read the seventh chapter, and it's too long to go into now, you'll see. He's talking about his life before he became a Christian, when he struggled under the law. Romans chapter 8 talks about his life as a Christian. Go ahead, check it out. Because Paul's not confusing things. He's talking about his experience under the law. He says, under the law, yes, he's convicted of his sin nature. In fact, through the knowledge of the law comes knowledge of sin. But he said this: the law was powerless to do anything to help him. And so he'd struggle on his own, and he'd be frustrated. And he says, who shall save me from the body of this death? And then he goes right on to the next verse. Thanks be unto Jesus. Thanks be unto God. Through his grace. He took all my sin, and when he was crucified, so was I. Whoa. Whoa. But you don't understand. I have hormones. I have passion. Feelings. And oh, the old man, she's strong. In the Bible. Ephesians, the great manual of spiritual warfare. This is the manual, the Christian's manual for spiritual warfare. Paul starts out in verse 2 of chapter 1. He says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? Are you struggling with sin? Get into heavenly places. Well, if you think you have an old nature, you won't go into heavenly places because you'll be so full of guilt, you'll put your faith in your old man. I hope this is shaking some of you up. Or maybe this is old stuff. This shook me up. Shook me up. Because I never thought of it, of when you die, you go to heaven. That opens up the whole supernatural realm to those who put their faith in the truth. All right. Let's go on. Verse 5 of chapter 2. Even when we were dead in sins, Jesus hath quickened us together, or the Father has quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together, where? In heavenly places. If you're feeling like I'm feeling right now, I'm feeling a real strong, weighty glory over me. I'm standing in heavenly places. I'm standing on holy ground. Hopefully you're sitting in heavenly places right now, because we spent the time to enter into his presence, and you're still in his presence. That shouldn't lift. Should just stay with you all day long. If you sense it lifting, what do you do? Go right back in. Hallelujah. All right. Chapter 4. Verse 21. Or verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the what? Spirit of your mind. How many of you realize that many times entering into the Christian life seems like a mind game? I mean, it's really a world that exists in opposites. The way up is down. If you want to receive, give. You know, humility is better than pride. I mean, it's just everything is different because it's all about living in the new nature in heaven. And we're just learning how to become comfortable there. And that is our, that is why we spend so much time talking about getting into the presence and getting into heavenly realms rather than talking about sin. Because that sin thing has been dealt with. Why talk about it? Why go there? Why talk about what we already know as far as our failures, our shortcomings, something that was put to death? Let's leave it dead. When I cut off a dead branch, I don't, you know, put it up on the mantelpiece and cry over it. I don't try to plant it back in the ground and resurrect it. Man, I burned that baby. It's going to turn into hot water, heat the house. Okay. All right. You catching this? I mean, old man, dead. Your life is hidden in Christ. The opportunities, the possibilities. Wow, it's awesome. The destiny that is before you is based on two different dimensions. First, intimacy. And if we could, let's look at something. Let's go to John chapter 3. And let's look at verse 7. We're looking at first intimacy. See, your destiny in God is hinged upon two things, destiny and works. Faith without works is dead. But faith is a gift that comes through intimacy with God. And Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, and in verse 7 we pick it up. He said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." John Wesley was asked by this congregation, well, actually he moved around, but by those who followed him, he said, "Why do you always preach in every message, you must be born again? Why? Can't you preach anything else? Why do you always preach, you must be born again?" And he said, "Because you must be born again." That's where it starts. You got to know him before intimacy can start. Amen? All right. Nicodemus answered and said unto them, "How can these things be?" And Jesus said, "The wind blows where it lists, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and where it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Again, the Spirit of God blows where it rests. You can't tell the wind until it's pressing upon something, until it's pressing upon a tree limb or your face. But wherever it rests, it's seeking that rest. And the desire of our hearts is, "Lord, rest on us as we press in to the wind." We're not going to run from the wind. We're going to press into it. All right? John 3:10. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel and knows not these things? Verily, verily." Now, whenever Jesus says, "Verily, verily," he's saying, "Listen up. This is really important. Catch this. We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen." We need to be a people who go after experience. You know what tradition is? Tradition is a truth that we come to believe in based upon somebody else's experience. And tradition can keep you from experiencing heavenly encounters, can't it? We need to be a people who experience the life of God in heavenly places, recognizing that the Father has opened up the invitation to us all. who have died with him in crucifixion. And he says the blood is enough to purchase an open heaven for each and every one of you. Now, the trouble is, the church says many times, the kingdom now, but not yet. See, they look at the fact that when there's a miracle service, only a percentage get healed. And they say, there's coming a day when God's going to come back, everybody's going to get healed. And I don't disagree with that. But there are a few people who are beginning to challenge the concept of everything bad happens now and everything good happens later. You know, talk about the tribulation and how things are going to get worse, and if the saints just put their faith in holding on and get through until he comes. But some are challenging that this concept of time and eternity are closer than we probably once thought. And the next verse is the secret to Jesus' ministry. And what's so amusing, if not amazing, about this next verse is that here Jesus is talking about being born again and the Holy Spirit blowing where it will, and Nicodemus doesn't have a clue. And he's like saying, hey, you didn't get that? Try this one. And then he lays on what is probably the most incredible heavy of them all. And I can just imagine Nicodemus being blown away. Let's look at it. Next verse. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. What? I remember reading this when I was first born again and went, okay, and went right on. You know, sometimes it takes time for you to internalize what he's saying, because it really looks like doublespeak here. All right, let's take this thing apart and see if we can figure it out. First of all, who's he talking about? Who's speaking here? Jesus. He's talking about himself, right? Get some nods here? Okay. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. Who was down on heaven at the point of talking to Nicodemus? Jesus. And he's not talking just about going down, but he's talking about ascending. In fact, he's saying that the Son of Man, which is himself, is in heaven while he's talking to Nicodemus. Do you see time and eternity? I grew up with this concept of kingdom now, but not yet. The trouble is, Jesus never said that. He says the kingdom of God is at hand. He says, as I'm talking to you, I'm also in heaven. He says, I ascend on a regular basis. Because you see, only the dead in Christ go to heaven. Isn't that something? Are you getting this in? Heaven's gates are open. The blood of Jesus is enough to purchase the supernatural life for us on a... When was the last time you encountered God? Where you had an angelic or a supernatural encounter with God? You say, well, we're more spiritual than that, you know. We don't just seek signs. We believe the word. That's fine. But I look to Jesus, who wasn't satisfied with just mere doctrine alone. He couldn't experience. He couldn't taste it. You know, I appreciate the disciples. They experienced it, and then they wrote about it. They said, oh, this is that. Oh, this is this is that was said. Oh, now I get it. What's the danger of experiencing truth and not, of receiving truth and not experiencing it? Rigidity. Religion. And Jesus said, I'm going to pour my wine into new wineskins. Why? Because they're flexible. When you have an encounter with God, doctrine becomes living and breathing. Because Jesus is a person. And it's breathing, it's moving, it's living, it changes dynamics. And sometimes it seems to contradict itself, but that's okay because you've tasted heavenly realms. And when something comes that blows you away, you say, well, he wouldn't be God if I didn't understand everything. He's just taking me deeper into greater revelation. He's training me, he's teaching me, just like he said he was. He's expanding me because I'm dead. And my life is hid. There are things hidden, but it's hidden in Christ, and it's for me. And so when I go before the Lord, I expect to talk to angels. I expect to have experiences, angelic revelations, and whatever. And I've had some beauties. And I long for more. You can eat all the bread you want, but if you don't take it down with some juice, you get stuck in the throat. Okay? So, you know what I'm saying? We don't want to become lopsided where we're just one way or the other. I long to experience the Lord in His presence. I just love it when time stops and I get caught away and somebody has to come and thump me over the head and say, wait, come back down. No man has ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. That is the key to ministry and destiny. Intimacy first. Time and eternity have collapsed into themselves. Isn't that wonderful? It's like we don't have to wait until we die physically to experience divine encounters. Young people, I hope this gets a hold of you because it's gripping a whole generation that's surrounding you. And kids are going out and spending their whole day praying and seeking God 24/7 for the purpose of encountering God in the realm of the supernatural. And they are experiencing Him. And He's releasing them with supernatural giftings and callings that are beyond their ability, their talents. See, this is the realm we're talking about, the realm where you change. In His presence, I am changed. When we behold Him as He is, maybe through a glass darkly, but as we seek to see Him as He is, He changes us, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, from glory to glory. Isn't that awesome? The second part of our destiny is tied up with works. Yesterday at the men's meeting, we talked about from James. We got through the second chapter. We just cleaned that right through. And went. James just lays it out. He says, faith without works is dead. So there has to be something, the fruit that comes out of that intimacy. This is Matthew 25. We don't need to go there and spend all that much time in it. But the thing about that is the parable of the talents. And in that, we see that the key to opening up cities for God is faithfulness. One is given two talents, he makes four. One is given five, makes ten, that sort of thing. You know what I mean? Remember that parable? Where they take what is given and through faithfulness they multiply it. And then the Lord says, I'll make you over cities. I give you authority over. So the key to works is faithfulness. The key to ministry in the Holy Spirit is intimacy. So those two things wrap up your destiny. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are tired of playing God, and I'll give you rest, right? Then he says, go into all the world and make disciples. All right, so before he says go, he says come. So those are the two things that tie up your whole destiny. Young people, if you're trying to figure out what God wants to do with your life, it's tied up in those two dimensions. You don't need to spend time in books. The Bible is greatly recommended. In fact, Smith Wigglesworth said that's all the education he had. He didn't read any other book but the Bible. It served him all right. He has a funny name, but he sure did some amazing things. And he changed the course of his generation because he pressed in to the truth of God's word and into the presence of God and touched realms of the presence of God I shared with you before. But he would pray with a group of men, and when he was done, he was alone because the others could not stand the glory that he was accustomed to. But we can ascend. I was challenged a year ago, or less than a year ago, when I was watching Bob Bum, the prophet, Bob Jones. And he was with Pat King. And he said, would you like to go up to the third heaven? She said, sure. He says, okay. And he closed his eyes, and she looked, and she closed her eyes, and she, he says, what do you smell? And she says, I smell lavender. He says, yeah. What do you see? I see bright, glorious light. And I'm going like, so I closed my eyes. But, you know, all I saw was dark. I was thinking, okay, God, you know, they've got something I want. And it's like, and I've been spending a couple hours a day just in his presence, and I was resting. I said, Lord, how about this? And he's showing me more and more that you press into this thing because our life is hidden God. But it's like, boy, you know, the resistance that I used to have towards his presence is melted away. Any opportunity I get, I'm there. I mean, it's just life to me. And he's done that in me. He's changed me. And he's working heaven in my heart, as I hope he's doing to you. Yes.
I want to just share something about this intimacy and this encounter thing that he's talking about. Is there somebody upstairs with a... Would you go up and put Hebrews 12, 1 and 2? And if you have your Bibles, look at that. He's talking about focusing our gaze on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's what he's been talking about. And in that way, we enter eternity. As I was... Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 deals with, okay, so what about that besetting sin that I have? What about the issues that I have? What about that thing that holds me down to this earth and it keeps me from getting up there because I'm just such a sinner and there's this thing that keeps pulling me back? I don't care what it is, whether it's gossip, whether it's anger, whether it's pornography, whether it's whatever it is that is a besetting sin. Look at this verse. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. How? Okay. And that's the question. How do we do that? Right? And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Look at the next verse. There it is. Looking unto Jesus. That is the answer to every single besetting sin, every single situation that might arise in our life. That is the answer to every question. Looking to Jesus. Get your gaze on him, not on the sin, not on the enemy coming at you, not on this or that or the other thing. Looking to Jesus, encountering, gazing upon his beauty, gazing upon who he is, and eternity. Just as he did. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And it's because of the joy that was set before him. Who's the joy? At least we are. We're the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He was looking elsewhere. He was not looking at the shame. He was not looking at the cross. He said, for a brief moment, he said, oh, if this could be taken away from me. And he realized, no, purposes are high. I have to look. So he was looking at the joy that was set before him. He was looking further, just as he wants us to look further. Don't go looking at the sin. Don't go looking at the thing that's holding you back. Look at him. And just realize just how beautiful he is. And that's the whole reason we want to encounter him. I mean, he's beautiful. He's wonderful. He's magnificent. And he also gets rid of the gunk. And we're not even focusing on the gunk. We're focusing on him. And as we encounter him, as we just are living from this place of eternity. Eternity happened the moment I asked him into my life. That's when eternity happened. I'm living in heaven now. I don't have to be worried and concerned about lesser things, those besetting sins. I can just look at Jesus. And I can gaze upon his beauty, and all those other things are passed away.
Leave that up there. Yeah, I said young people be interested in what I'm saying today, because it tells your destiny. You know, Moses was 80 years old when he started his ministry, so there's a lot of young people in here today. You understand it? Just older youth, that's all we are. You got it? Okay. Now look at this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the spaghetti suppers and the youth conferences. Come on, where does stuff happen when you start doing stuff? That's why your intimacy with God is so important before you start doing the spaghetti suppers and the youth rallies and everything else. Because, you know, the enemy's going to try to do whatever he can to resurrect that old man and get things in there that shouldn't be happening. But that thing's dead. So if Richard, God forbid, were to be set up in a coffin here, dead as a doornail, and a pretty girl walks by like his wife, what's going to happen? Nothing. If he's dead, nothing. But that old rascal's so full of life, watch out. He chases her around the house all the time. But you see what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So it's the type of thing where we can do this. We can reach out to our community and do it for the glory of his name. And his name will be glorified because of the love that's on our faces. Even when things are going wrong in the kitchen and everything else. And how many of you realize it always goes wrong? You know? Remember Martha? Oh, bless her heart. Hot dogs were burning. She'd say, where are you, Mary? What is with you? And then Jesus comes and says, oh, she's chosen the better part. Oh, goodness, don't you understand? Well, you catching this? Okay. Let's just bow our hearts. Father, I don't think there's anyone here that doesn't want more of you. I think everyone's here because of that. And Lord, any way you can set us free from a ball and chain that we might have been carrying all these years, we're asking you to cut that chain right now. Father, by the Spirit of revelation, grant us the understanding of the fullness of our death in your crucifixion as being our crucifixion. That our old man is completely and totally crucified with Christ. That we might say, I am crucified with Christ and yet I live. And the life that I live is by the faith of the Son of God. Spirit of God, I pray you would release faith for all those struggling with sin problems, all those struggling with the pull of the earth, trying to keep them from going into the realms of heaven. Lord, break the chains that bind us to this earth and release us into heavenly realities. I'm asking for divine encounters for each and every one here. Experiences from heaven, that they would hear the voice of the Spirit of God to their heart, igniting them for works of service that are supernatural in nature. Father, help us to take this city for Jesus. Let us start with our own personal city and move out from there. Help us to encounter the supernatural by understanding the truth of your word, that I'm dead and my life is hidden in you. Show me the mysteries of the kingdom of God, I ask. Everyone said, amen. God bless you guys. Hey, tonight is what?